I'm sorry that you are the type of person that we need to drink to be around.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we discuss euthanasia. We talk about the Brittany Maynard case, putting down our dog, Ayn, and whether or not suicide and euthanasia should be considered the same thing.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, as always joined by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hi.
And Tim Wick.
I am always.
He is always. It was very existential.
I am eternal and always.
We are legion. Hello. This week, our topic is super sad, and I might cry. Just fair warning, we are discussing euthanasia. We are going to talk about the right to die for people and why we grant that to animals and pets without a second thought and tell each other that we're doing the right thing and ending their suffering and making this the hard choice. But when it comes to human beings, that's just fucking verboten. So
yeah,
we were mostly inspired by the Brittany Maynard case. That was happening right around the same time that Nick and I had to put down our beloved dog, Ayn. After 12 and a half amazing years. And it's something that's been near and dear to my heart for a long, long time. I was growing up as a teenager, and I guess, Tim, you would have been an adult during the Kevorkian trial. I remember thinking that I did not understand what the big fucking deal was.
Yeah.
I really didn't, because he had all this paper documentation of consent and everything.
What I remember,
I think the biggest problem with Kevorkian was he was an asshole.
He was a fucking asshole.
I think that was the biggest strike against him. And I'm not judging him for being an asshole. I'm just saying, I think the reason that he ended up going to trial and going to prison was not even... I mean, there were all sorts of reasons, but I think one of the biggest reasons was he was such a prick that nobody really felt they could stand up for.
I would have been like 3 years younger than you, Molly, and I think...
You'd have been like middle school.
Yeah, what I remember from that... Because I remember thinking, like, ethically, I didn't see a problem necessarily. But what I remember is that everyone was referring to him as, like, Dr. Death.
And
stuff like that. And there were a lot of really morbid, like, political cartoons about it and
suicide.
Stuff like that. And I felt that, like, trivializing or joking about or making light of it. Of what he was doing and how and all that was more disrespectful or seemed more ethically questionable than the act itself. Like,
yes.
Like if he's helping people who consenting to, you know, who are in misery or whatever, put an end to that.
Right.
If someone's opposed to that and then they say like something kind of glib or, you know, make fun of him, it seems like contradictory to me. It seems, you know?
Yeah, no,
that's what sticks out in my mind from that.
And then there also in our lifetime, there was the Terri Schiavo case.
Yes.
In Florida, where you had the husband who wanted to remove her feeding tube.
Because they had talked about it, and that was what he said. She had always said she wanted.
And the parents who were like, well, we're willing to keep her alive forever.
Our daughter would never want that because religion was really a big problem there. Mm-hmm. Was her parents were very religious and they didn't want to do that because they thought that as long as she was, you know, alive. And I think that's an important facet of this I do want to explore is the religious angle on it. But first, I just want to kind of cover the idea that I feel like there's a difference between suicide and, you know, the euthanasia, ending your life.
Yeah, and you kind of got to establish, have to establish terms there. Because I was thinking about that, too.
What's the difference between someone who's depressed and, I mean, we all agree, can we all agree at this table that depression, I mean, it's a mental illness.
Yep.
It's an illness in that sense. I mean, it's a chemical problem, but I feel... Personally, I want to ask each of you how you feel. I feel that ending your life when it's something in that sense, like suicide to me, that I don't agree with. I mean, I guess, how's this? It's not that I don't agree with it. I think that's selfish, but I also don't have a problem with it. And I'm not like, you're immoral and going to hell, or you're a bad human being.
It is your life.
Correct.
And to some extent, I think you have a right to determine how to end it. And if you are so psychologically miserable that the only recourse, the only conceivable way out of that pain is to kill yourself, I feel tremendous pity for you. And I would hope, and I know that depression lies to people, and the people who feel that are wrong.
I feel that you have the right to end your own life, and I have the right to think that you're an asshole for doing it. How's that?
I think that depression is so sinister and self-perpetuating, and it's such a... Depression wants nothing more than to keep you depressed.
All mental illness wants you to keep you crazy.
And because the organ with which we do our reasoning and logic and all of that is also what is responsible for feeling, interpreting pain and making decisions and all of that, that because the part of you that is the reasoning part of you is broken,
yes,
you can't, I don't know if you can be trusted to make life and death decisions for yourself, because your thinking process is faulty, because you are suffering from a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
You're sick in a way that is affecting your reasoning and thinking. And I mean, the very parts of you that are responsible for reasoning and thinking can't be trusted.
Correct.
So I think it's very complicated.
I mean, you have to say that of course, it's their choice. It's their life.
Right.
But you can at the same time say, but I wish they would have made any other choice.
Yes.
You know, which is different from euthanasia, where you're talking about somebody who is in pain, who knows their life is going to end,
mm-hmm.
who knows their life is going to end in a way that is not dignified, that is, you know, in a hospice.
A terminal diagnosis.
Expensive? I mean, really?
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's, I mean, like Brittany Maynard, especially, that was going to be what? Like $100,000 hospital bill when she was all done? Dying in a hospital?
Even if she went to a hospice, which are usually free or mm-hmm. very, very inexpensive, there's a lack of dignity to that death. And she was saying, I want to choose mm-hmm. to die with dignity. And that is, I think, different. And the same when if you have a relative who's in an intensive care unit and who's on a respirator, and you know that if you take them off that respirator that they're going to die. But you also know that the chances that they will ever be able to be taken mm-hmm. off that respirator and live are slim to none. To me, again, it's a question of dignity. Do you leave them there in that state, knowing that they'll never leave? To me, I think it's a moral. It's more morally wrong to leave them in that state.
I agree, and I think that I have often said, and I do believe when I say, I think suicide is a selfish decision. I think the problem comes where people assume that the word selfish is inherently pejorative and therefore something to be detested. It's not detestable to be selfish. We're all selfish, and we all make choices that simply benefit us. I mean, it can be anything from so small as, I'm not going to go to her birthday party because I'm exhausted and I'm going to stay home. That's a selfish choice because I need to take care of myself tonight. There's nothing wrong with being selfish. And I wish that, I don't know why we got so far from that idea, but I mean, it is selfish to take yourself out of the picture. Especially something where it's like Robin Williams, like, you know, someone who, you know, anyone who commits suicide while your family's in the house and they have no idea, and then now they have to find you.
Yeah.
Things like that. That is, I guess, to me, so maybe that's the difference. Euthanasia is done. Euthanasia is, you are open about it. You're going to die. And if someone said to me, I'm going to commit suicide tonight and there's nothing you can do about it, and I just want you to know, I'm killing myself tonight. I'm so depressed and angry. I can't do anything about it. I can't get help. The thing is, you can take that person to the hospital. You can go pick them up and call the cops and make them go to the emergency room, and they'll hold them for 72 hours. And then as soon as they get out, they can try again. And if someone is determined to die, they're going to die. And
that's,
I think,
true.
That's their right. But I also think that if you're going to take yourself out of the picture, you have to admit that it's a selfish choice, that your actions will not be in a vacuum.
That you literally don't care how that choice is going to impact the people around you.
No, or you can't care. You can't let that. How about this? You care, but it's on the other side of the equation, and it's not balancing everything out.
You
it's
care,
not enough.
Just fair. Not as yeah. much as
yeah
yeah.
And so now that we've kind of covered that, just so I want to make sure everyone knows, I don't want to get into a big debate about suicide and like, oh, Molly, you were on Facebook saying that you thought Robin Williams was selfish and he had Parkinson's, it turns out. Okay, that's great. That's fine. He could have said something to his wife, maybe. I don't think his wife should have found him. How's that?
Yeah.
I think that's, if I knew Nick had Parkinson's and Nick was depressed about it and was so upset that he had to kill himself and he didn't tell me. I don't know what I would do. I don't know how I could ever forgive him. That would just, you know, because like, let me know, let people, let, I don't know. Anyway, so euthanasia, a lot of people, when the Brittany Maynard thing happened, when she, you know, went on in People magazine and said, I'm going to end my life on, I think it was like November something. Like she set a date. She's like, this is the date. My husband and I, and we've got a vacation plan. We're gonna do all these things. I'm gonna do the things I want to do, and I'm gonna end my life. And she was young and beautiful. She's a vibrant, smart, intelligently clever girl. The interview with her is heart-wrenching. And
recently married.
Yep. Yeah, and a lot of people in the comments. I mean, there's the usual hateful shit because it's the comments. But there were some people that were saying, you know, I don't believe in hell. I don't think she's going to hell for committing suicide. I just think that it's disappointing or disgusting or whatever that she's throwing away God's gift, that she's playing God, that she thinks she knows better than God, and she's just going to go ahead and throw that away. And I don't know if I can think of anyone that would have objections that weren't religion based. I mean, can you think of anything? Can you think of any secular reason why she could end her life?
I'm going to try and think of a secular reason. I suppose that a secular argument would be that the knowledge that we have but one life makes it careless to give up any amount of time that you can have.
I can see that.
But I mean, to me, that's not an argument that says it is morally wrong.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
To me, that's simply an argument that says, if it was me in that position, I would fight for every minute that I could have. And I kind of feel like I would be in that position if I was in her position. But, I mean, if I was in her position, I'm not in her position. So
right.
I don't really know.
Yeah.
And I have other decisions and I have other pieces to that puzzle in that I have to consider my family and my children and how are my children going to feel if I'm like, well, you know, the doctors gave me 6 months to live, but I'm only going to take 4.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, why are you depriving us of those other 2?
But you could say, because I want you to remember me this way.
Yeah,
I don't want
sure.
you to remember me with
sure.
IVs
I mean,
and pale and sunken and wasted away.
Sure, there are answers to those questions.
Think of the opening scene of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Can you, I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, that's his beautiful young mother. And that's the memory he's left with.
God,
you know,
spoilers.
Is that, but, like, so This actually is very similar to what happened with Ayn, because Ayn started throwing up, and he never threw up, and he started throwing up all the time and peeing in the house, which he never did. And so we took him to the vet, which he hadn't been to the vet in 8 or 9 years because he was aggressive, fearful aggression, and one time I took him to the vet and he freaked out and bit me a bunch, and it was so terrifying and traumatic for both of us that I just didn't see the point.
Yeah.
And so I always knew, well, someday something's going to go wrong and I'm going to have to take him to the vet and it's going to suck. But we had a great vet, and I took him by the day before and they gave us some ace promazine, which is dog Valium, and we doped him up and took him in, and this was a while before his last appointment, and they took him up and they gave him a shot, so he was knocked out, and it took a lot of the shot. It took 2
wow.
of the
yeah,
shot, and the vet was like, he is not wanting to go to sleep, and
he finally did, so
they could scan him, and they did a CT and stuff, and they found out that he had masses, big masses in his stomach and his chest cavity, and they couldn't know what they were unless they did a needle biopsy. And a needle biopsy risked puncturing them.
Huh.
And
if they're hematomas and they're punctured, He would just die in his sleep.
He would just die out and bleed in his sleep and die in his sleep. And if they were cancer, then they would know and all this. And he had been attacked.
And if the hematomas, and he was, and he's a, say, small, lowrider, half-corgi dog, going up and down stairs or jumping up into bed or anything like that could also rupture the hematoma. Uh-huh.
And he had been attacked by two large dogs in January of last year. He had been attacked by a boxer pit bull mix in our neighborhood and shaken. They grabbed him by his flank and shook him. So he had had this big softball-sized lump of scar tissue, maybe grapefruit size, that he'd had for a while. And so it was very, very likely that he had hematomas and internal, you know, damage that we just, he'd had for this, like, for 11 months. So we opted to not do any of that, and we would just see how he went and took him home, and he was on special food and three medications that he had to take 8 times a day. And we took care of him. And then as soon as he went off the special food, he started throwing up again. And he was,
as soon as he was off his nausea medication,
he was whining, and he didn't, you know, he didn't really like going for walks anymore. He just wasn't. In hindsight, I can see that he wasn't the same.
Right.
Yeah. Even though at the time it felt like he was the same. And so it was an extra hard decision because there wasn't anything immediately wrong with him.
Right.
And so I had a lot of guilt because usually they're like, what's wrong with him? And like, is he sick? And it's like, well, he's not sick. I mean, I don't know. So when I called the vet and we had to take him in, and they were really sweet about it. They didn't say anything like, well, he seems fine to me, or I bet he's got a few good months left in him. They didn't do that, which was really nice. But it was really hard because this is a decision that he can't make for himself.
You can't communicate his condition.
And
I can't talk to him
and let him know what's happening. And so it was really hard because I'd still sometimes, but mostly right after, had a lot of guilt about, like, what if we'd had another couple months? But I had to remind myself that he could have at any time gotten, like, really sick and been really aggressive.
Yeah.
And maybe wouldn't let me take him to the vet, and maybe would have bitten me or hidden or who knows. And then those would have been my last memories.
Or the cats. I mean,
and that's like,
there are other animals in the house.
I didn't want the cats to see the dog die in the house. I mean, to some degree. And and it was very much like with Brittany Maynard, in the sense of, like, I don't want my last memories of him to be he bit me.
Right.
And I had to force pills down his throat so I could drag him to a vet so that they could euthanize. I mean, just, we gave him a great last day and took him to the dog park, and he ran on the off-leash dog park.
Fed him chicken nuggets.
Because he'd gotten his rabies shot when he was unconscious getting the scan, so now I can take him to the dog park finally. Fed him a whole thing of chicken nuggets, and just, like, he just had a really good last day. And
a full and complete, like, a king send-off.
I honestly think that if I could die the same way, I'd be pretty happy.
Yeah, I mean, we're going through the same thing right now, and probably by the time this podcast goes up, well, one of our cats is, we're going to have to put her down because it's our youngest cat, which is really sad. She's only 5.
She's so cat.
And she's stopped eating and drinking, and we can't figure out what's going on.
For a couple of weeks now, right?
Yeah, a couple of weeks, and the cost of even figuring out what's wrong is so expensive.
That's how it was with Ayn. It would have been, like, thousands just to find out. Thousands,
and it's like, thousands. I hate for it to be, you know, if it was one of my children, it wouldn't be a cost-benefit
analysis.
If it
was one of your children, they'd be covered by health insurance.
Sure. Yeah.
If it was one of your children, even if you didn't have health insurance, the hospital would have to take care of them in Minnesota.
Yeah. At the same time, cats and dogs, if you put them under for surgery, there's a decent chance they'll die even if they do. So it just feels like, and so we know that she hasn't drank anything. We've been giving her IV fluids because she seems, other than just being she's lost so much weight. But other than that, she's still got energy, and she still, you know, purrs and curls up and curls up next to you. And we're kind of like watching her to see when things just start to get pretty bad. And that's tough.
Because she's deaf, she's so oblivious to the sounds she makes. And so if any of you have ever heard a cat on the podcast, chances are it was her, like, outside the door, just like
so loud and that's
howling.
And that, the thing is, that howl was so annoying, and she hasn't done it in 2 weeks, and I miss it so much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But there's no question that the right thing for her is to end that suffering when we see that it's starting to happen. And you know, we're going to hire somebody. We're going to get one of the people that comes out and puts animals down at our house because she hates the vet.
That's good.
We took her to the vet when we got her, she hadn't been fixed yet. And so we took her to the vet to get fixed, and she literally howled herself hoarse in the day and a half that she was at the vet. She would not. We got told by the text at the vet that she never stopped howling the entire time they were there. When they left at night, she was howling. When they came back in the morning, they were like, oh, yep, that cat's still here.
It makes me wonder if she stopped howling while people were gone, but as soon as she could tell people were back in the... No, she can't hear, never mind.
She can't hear, so she'd just been meowing.
If they turned the light on, it wasn't when they turned the light on. It was like literally, So that's, and she doesn't make any noise anymore. It's just hard, but
she's mute and deaf.
It feels right. I never have questioned the decision. You know, she's not the first cat that I've put down, and she won't be the last.
Well, you can't, I mean, that's, when you have a pet, that's kind of what you're signing up for.
That's your responsibility. It's part of why you get the unending love and companionship.
The trade-off is that you're completely and totally responsible for them, including their life and, to some degree, how and when it ends.
And yet when humans want to make that decision for themselves...
Humans who
are capable of reason...
And communication and... Yeah.
We question it. And that is so alien to me, why we would look at that situation and...
Do you guys... Okay, so let me ask you like an ethical weighing question, since we're making the comparison. Do you feel that a human's life is worth more than an animal's life? And by animal, I mean, you know, non-human animal. Like a dog or a cat.
Well, obviously I do, because they eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't, like, say an animal, and it seems silly to be like, well, a dog or a cat.
You could have that belief and still eat meat. It just might be a little hypocritical, but you could still have the...
I don't think a dog's life... If my dog was attacking a child and I had a gun, I'd shoot my dog.
Okay.
I'd have to.
Right.
But would I feel like I made the better choice? I don't know. I don't know that kid.
So,
But I mean, to some degree...
I don't know that kid. That kid grew up to be Hitler.
But seriously, I would do it because I know that's what society would expect. Right. But like, to me personally, a stranger versus my dog, it's my dog. Okay. I don't care about strangers.
Tim, what do you...
But I also have autism,
To me, I think there is an intrinsic value in the life of any creature.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I'm a carnivore, but
circle of life.
But carnivores eat other animals. Right. You know, whether it's a human that eats another animal or a lion that eats another animal.
Yeah.
The carnivores eat other animals. Fine, I'm an omnivore. Whatever. Anyway, because somebody's going to put that
That's
in the
true.
Comments. So I respect
cows eat field mice. I'm just going to throw that out there. Cows eat field mice all the time, and they're herbivores.
Field mice, and even if you're a vegetarian, when somebody plows their field to plant crops, they're killing animals that live under the ground.
Sure.
And I'm not just talking about worms. They're killing moles. They're killing groundhogs.
Shrews or whatever.
Yeah. So you can't escape. You can't escape that animals die so that we can live.
Right.
Yeah.
But other animals die so other animals can live.
Leather is an amazing material.
Yeah. And I guess I do respect life. I respect the life that's given so I can eat steak.
So I mean, like, brass tacks, like things need to die so other things need to live, but... Is a human life worth more than an animal life? It's a question that leads to a question.
It is a hard question to answer. I guess my answer would be I'm probably going to say yes, because if I was given the option of saving the life of another person or saving the life of an animal, yeah. I would choose the person.
A man okay. and a dog are drowning, and you can only save one.
So yeah. in that regard, I think that that's a hole in the argument that because an animal can't consent for itself and we are able to choose like a noble or planned death for an animal,
yeah.
that means that a person should be able to do the same for themselves. Like, I think if a human's life is worth more than an animal life,
absolutely.
And
we're willing to give that kindness to animals, but not humans, and that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I think, the other point is, if a human life is worth more than an animal life, then a human ought to be able to make that decision about how their life ends.
Agreed. A human ought to be afforded the same rights.
But the counter argument to that is, if a human's life is worth more than it's not, you can't equate the two decisions, and a human's life is something to end less, to end more hesitantly
okay,
than
this?
An animal's.
Okay,
because it's worth more.
Then what about this? Let's put aside the idea of humans and animals.
Okay.
Okay. We have the right to end the life of another creature, of an animal, of a lesser creature.
Like, I can go hunting.
You have the right. You can go hunting. Put down your pet.
Sure. Right. Okay.
You're not even hunting. You have the right. It is moral. It is the moral choice to give a kind death to another creature.
Yes.
Why is it not a moral choice to give a kind death to yourself? Yourself.
And that's the thing. I genuinely can't think of a logical, non-religious objection to compassionate euthanasia, much in the same way that I can't come up with a logical, non-religious objection to gay marriage or abortion, for that matter. Abortion. Yeah.
I've seen secular arguments against abortion.
I don't agree with them.
They're completely messed up.
they're not convincing to me. I don't consider them good arguments or fully logical. But I don't have one. There might be some. I haven't, just because I haven't heard them doesn't mean they don't exist.
Yeah, I guess I think the big problem, the big obstacle is religion.
Yes.
In that it teaches us that in order to earn something greater than the life we have to suffer through whatever this life gives us to the bitter end.
Yeah, it's God's plan, Tim.
Even though we all have free will. But anyway.
Oh my God.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we had that conversation online yesterday.
I just can't... And I know that there's such a sticky wicket when it comes to suicide and euthanasia and all that. And like, I mean, I, as crazy as I was never suicidal. What I usually will tell people is I never wanted to die. The closest I got was there was a period of time where I obviously just didn't care if I lived or not because I was starving myself. I mean, to death. I was starving myself to death. But I never felt suicidal. I never woke up and thought, shit, I woke up again.
Well,
I never woke up and thought, God, another day.
There's a difference between self-harm or self-injury and suicide.
Right.
They're different.
They are. And so, I mean...
Or even reckless manic behavior, could end in death,
is not
suicidal.
Even when they told me I was probably going to die if I didn't stop starving myself, I was like, yeah, I know. I mean, but I would never have described as suicidal. So to that end, it's hard for me to understand suicide over mental illness, suicide over despair, as opposed to suicide / euthanasia, just, you know, suicide, new suicide, crystal suicide.
Well, okay, so there's if someone's depressed or if someone is suicidal due to some mental illness, there are medications and therapies and there's things to try before it's like, well, this is hopeless. You know, if it's...
There's hospitals,
if
for Christ's sake.
You have incredibly terminal cancer, and there's no hope, and you're going to die in 3 months, and it's going to be a really brutal and painful...
Even if it's not.
...undignified 3 months.
Even if it's not. What if it's going to be a gentle 3 months, and... and your death won't be painful, but you still just want to go out on your own fucking terms. Like, yeah. we indulge women in the most insane birth plans in the world. Pools of warm water, a very specific music playing, this particular snack. I only want this scent in the room. I want lavender in the water. I want, you know, no, I don't want, I want a doula, no hospitals, no, I mean, we let women indulge in that for birth, but we don't think it's okay for death. It's the same goddamn thing. I mean, if I want to die while I'm listening to Zeppelin 1 and my husband's there and I got cats on me, and even though I would have died gently in my sleep in 3 months, what I want to do is go out in my way and make sure that everything I want is there.
I would disagree with you and argue with you.
Of course you would. That's what you're supposed to do.
But, like, at the same time, like...
But then there's the chance that I die when you're on a business trip.
Yeah.
Or there's the chance that I die while you're at the grocery store.
Right.
And then it's like, why not make it so that we know everything we want? It's exactly what we want. Yeah. Why risk it?
Sure. I'm in agreement. I think that it's sad that our society is in such a state that we can't, that people looked at that choice that was made.
Yep.
And they judge it.
Yeah.
And they judge it through the lens of God disapproving of it.
Yeah.
Which I think is the worst thing, worst of all possible things, because it
one more thing God ruined, euthanasia.
Fucking
But
God.
I mean, like, so It's a Western culture, Western religion thing, too, because, I mean, I know there are other cultures, and I don't necessarily know if it's religious or just cultural, that have vastly different opinions on not just euthanasia, but also suicide.
True.
And so
the idea of suicide in Japan is an honorable act. Well, can be an honorable act.
Yeah, it's very complicated.
Like everything in Japan, it's extremely complicated.
Yeah.
And it depends on the very slight inflection you use when you're doing it.
Right.
All right, well, that has been a very emotional, I'm sorry for crying, discussion about...
What a bitch.
...euthanasia. Just like a woman, am I
crying? Crying over a dead dog is so selfish.
I'm on my period. All right.
It'd be funnier if you weren't.
All right, so... let's do five questions.
Yeah, let's do five questions.
Yeah. Hey, Javier from Cincinnati. I hope you're really excited to be tacked on to the end of my dead dog episode. So we have five
answers. You killed my cat, Javier, fucker.
We have five answers from Javier in Cincinnati, who says he loves the show and thanks for our dedication.
All right, Javier, question number one. What is the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
I was going to be predictable and say Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yay.
Because let's face it, it's better than Citizen Kane. But a couple of weeks ago, we were flicking through the on-demand and ran across a great bad movie, Dead Snow 2, Red vs. Dead.
Mm-hmm.
This is the sequel to an amazing Norwegian zombie flick. There is no way to describe it. You just have to see it. The first part is available on Netflix. Yes, I realize the amount of hate mail the Citizen Kane comment will generate.
No, because most people hate Citizen Kane.
How do you say Rosebud in Norwegian?
No, Citizen Kane is just not... a modern movie. It's just not a movie that...
Can't compare them.
Yeah. Interesting. I saw the original Dead Snow. I thought it was all right.
I mean, it was a good bad movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It was entertaining.
Yeah, it's not It's not made to... You know, it's no Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right, exactly.
Question number two. Who is your favorite atheist character?
I don't really pay attention to the religiosity of most characters, but I'm going to go with Sheldon Cooper from The Big Bang Theory.
Sure.
His constant arguments against his evangelical mom brings back memories of my childhood. To this day, I keep a rosary hanging from my rearview mirror, although it's more sentimental now. I prayed the rosary a lot as a kid because I thought that it was magic and would protect me against vampires. Like, I genuinely thought.
It worked.
Not a vampire to be seen.
Yeah, so, well done.
Yeah,
you know of.
To be fair, I also wanted to put cornmeal on the windowsills. My mom was like, no. She was absolutely not. I was like, what? Mom, sand, at least. She's like,
Ants, Molly? Because like, that's how you get ants.
She's like, we have an alarm system. I'm like, Mom, they can turn to mist. Oh, my God. Like, this not
they can
even.
Hypnotize you.
They will hypnotize me.
Off.
I'll turn the alarm system off. The only, like, the cornmeal is the only defense. Yeah, she didn't get it. Yeah, she didn't get it.
Well, that's all right. She tricked you into Care Bear mailbox.
I'm gonna euthanasia.
Yeah. So. All right. Question number three. What is your geekiest hobby?
I wasn't very sure how to answer this one, since I'm not really into traditional geeky hobbies. I don't game, and though I enjoy Star Wars, Star Trek, comics, and Doctor Who, I'm not invested into any of them. If I had to pick something, I would have to go with my job. I love research. I enjoy tracking down information, especially information that people want hidden. I love taking massive amounts of disparate data and finding the patterns. You say you have 100,000 records from 6 sources spanning 18 months? Give me a week and I'll give you an awesome chart that explains how they all connect. Dude, that's mega geeky.
Charts are awesome.
That's awesome. Especially since you used the word disparate. That's great.
Dude, I want to get you on my speed dial so the next time I have an argument on the internet and I tell somebody they need to give me a citation and they don't, I can just go, I'm going to have my research dude.
Yeah, I know a guy.
What you should do is offer that as something to buy on Fiverr.
Yeah.
Just like, I'll do your research for your internet argument for you for $5. Nice.
Now I want to know what this guy's job is.
Yeah.
NSA.
Right, that's what I thought
What was that
show? Rubicon.
Rubicon, that was a good show.
Yeah, dude. Hey man, if Javier, if you haven't seen, it only did one season
on FX. I think
it was FX or Showtime, maybe.
FX. It's called Rubicon.
It's not spies like Homeland. It's spies like people analyzing trends and media and stuff like that to figure.
Yeah. Backdoor NSA.
Yeah, super. It's like an outsourced research group for the CIA. Good. I'd highly recommend it.
It's Homeland without Carrie's cry face.
Yeah. Question number 4. What's your favorite sandwich?
This is a sensitive subject.
Oh.
14 years ago.
He had to euthanize his sandwich maker.
Oh. 14 years ago, I developed an allergy to sodium nitrate, the pink salt used to cure meats, which put my most commercial sandwiches out of my reach. Prior to that, it was a toss-up between the Monte Cristo at Bennigan's, and the Schlotzky's original.
Schlotzky's motherfucking
It's amazing
good.
How much you miss the simple things when you're told you can't have them. Over the last decade, I have been able to find uncured versions of most deli meats, except for bologna or mortadella and head cheese. Well, earlier this year, my fantasy came true. A local company in Indianapolis called Smoking Goose makes an uncured mortadella as well as a black truffle bologna.
Wow.
This world shines once more. So enough babble and on to my sandwich. Mortadella, hot capicola, rosemary ham with Mexican-style fresh, not aged, manchego cheese.
Is that 3 kinds of ham?
That's 3 kinds of ham. Well, 3 kinds of pork.
Right.
With Mexican-style manchego cheese on top, toasted in the oven until the cheese is a little brown. Toasted hoagie bun, white, not wheat. Put some zesty Italian dressing on the bottom of the toasted hoagie, meats on top, then top that off with fresh garden tomato and Haas avocado, then put on a bib, loosen your jaw, and enjoy it. That sounds amazing.
Nick can't eat that sandwich.
No.
I don't like pork, but I love pork deli. I love deli pork. I love capicola and salami and pepperoni and mortadella and
cured
all that.
Cured meats.
Cured, even uncured I like, but still,
so
yeah.
So it's, man.
Deli meats.
Like, that's actually not a super terrible allergy because, like, it may be better for you in the long run because that shit's kind of garbage for you anyway.
Sodium nitrate's terrible.
Yeah, so you know, man, like, it just means you have
you
to shop.
You lucked out.
You gotta shop at the hippie counter when you want delicious meats.
Yeah, Applegate Naturals, motherfucker.
Question number 5. What is the stupidest thing anybody's ever said to you about your atheism?
I have always taken pride in surrounding myself with fairly intelligent people, so I've never really had to deal with stupid comments. Most people that comment on my lack of faith are genuinely concerned for my soul, and it's hard to be offended by that. However, a couple of months ago, I actually heard someone I know use the "if we evolved from monkeys, why are there still monkeys?" argument.
Fuck that argument.
I can thank a strict upbringing to respect my elders for keeping my tongue in check. If I was still Catholic, I'd claim sainthood.
I don't respect any elder that says something that's stupid.
Yeah, man. We all descended from monkeys and 50 million abortions are cool. I love abortion. Wrong choice.
Yeah, yesterday, all 3 of us, somebody told us they would pray for us. So that was nice.
Repeatedly. And told us that we would find Jesus.
We would find Jesus because he was real. Him. I will find him because he owes me $5.
Yeah. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are.
But what I have is a specific set of skills that allows me to find people like you. I will find you and I will kill you. You heard it here, Jesus.
We're going to find you and we're going to kill you because that's what God wants us to do.
They're coming to get you, Jesus. All right. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for sticking with us. I apologize if we traumatized anybody. If you want to give us your thoughts on euthanasia, suicide, or any of it, mortadella that's uncured, any of that, let us know. We have been Geeks Without God. Thank you for rating us on iTunes. We love it when you guys comment on Facebook, like and share our posts. You're amazing. We have the best fans in the world, and we really appreciate you guys sticking through us.
I think we need more answers, too, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we can always use more answers. Send in your answers to our 5 questions at 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. You can also write to us, Tim, Nick, or Molly at geekswithoutgod.com. And, we'll see you another time. Fare thee well.
Bye. See you on the other side.
Bitches.
Fare thee well.
Yeah. I love you, Ayn. See you, space cowboy.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Listen to past podcasts and catch us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. Follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod and like our Facebook page, Geeks Without God.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Even when he agrees with me, he says stupid shit.